call the motherfucking police, won't Today is December 15th, 2012, in the early morning hours. As we record DJMCloud.com podcast number 62 with me, Dan McKeown, and with Jessica.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, we have, you know, several different areas that we want to discuss. But for the first area is a number of different creative tools we've been using. And the first one I think we want to talk about is actually one that Jessica's been using. It's called Paper App. We've mentioned it before, I think. Jessica's definitely used it for a while, but you just got some new features. You in-app purchased like some new features for it, right? And those are pretty cool.
Yeah, for $2, I got an additional set of two palettes. So there's the classic one.
Color palettes.
Color palettes. And then there's one with sort of some warm tones and cool tones, some bright earthy tones, and some cooler kind of funky tones. Yeah, so three palettes. And then they give you two empty palettes because they give you also with this $2 purchase, I can't remember actually what they're calling this, but it's a color wheel. And okay. The thing that was so constrained about paper was you only had those colors.
So you can generate colors by moving wheels around virtual kind of levers back and forth, and you can determine the nature of the color from there.
Yeah, 6 million colors now.
Yeah. Wow. So color is. Paper. Color is that app that bombed, you know, they liquidated. Paper it's an app for iPad only. You know, Jessica uses it. I've used hers a little, but it is very cool. But you're definitely the one that knows about it. And you're a creative visual person and like a sketcher, and a drawer, so I think that kind of, you know, a painter, you know, you have, so I think, you know, well, like I was, like, I think that this app actually brings out people, like it attracts people who want to try to create stuff, but the people that seem to use it a good deal are people that have some sort of skill or experience or something with visual arts, like drawing or painting. And like you do, you know what I mean? And what I was thinking is that I want to see the GarageBand of drawing apps, something that can do a lot of auto play. Like you can say, I want a tree with a squirrel in it. And then you'd be like, no, not a gray squirrel, a black squirrel. Or, you know, like, and then it'll do that for you.
It'll just draw it.
What do you think? You just describe how you want it drawn?
Yeah, like a little mini art director.
Yeah, I guess you could just hire an artist if you could afford to. Yeah, that's very cool. So yeah, you're just very good at creating stuff on that app. So mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, the app is something that definitely people, you know, that want to, you know, create sketches and drawings, you know, should try paintings and stuff too. I want to discuss my writing tools for the stuff that I've used. And I wrote that short novel, Crossing the Continental Divide, and actually I discussed the plot and stuff like that in podcast number 60. So you can check that episode out if you want to hear more about the story. Now for the for this project, I was using my iPhone, my Android Galaxy Tab 7 2.0 and also my iMac and MacBook Pro. So, you know, we have two Macs, and then also I have, you know, those devices. And I used all of them. Probably the most writing I did was actually on my iPhone. And the primary amount, I mean, I did a little bit of voice recognition stuff, but it was mostly just tapping, thumb tapping. I'm not a particularly fast typist, but not, I don't think I'm usually slow either on computers, but I've learned to type, I think, fairly fast with the iPhone. And so I use Drafts, and that's a cool app. I have mentioned it in podcast number 33 before, but this is the kind of app where you can just you just open it up, you start composing, and then you can decide whether you want to send it to Twitter, Facebook, Evernote, or Dropbox as a text file. You know, and it just handles basic text, but that was fine for what I was doing. I was just composing, you know, text. So I would use that, and then I would push it to Dropbox. I would do something similar with my Android tablet. I would do, like, you know, some writing, and I had to, you know, have an app. I had to find an app that would allow me to compose text and then push it to a text file to to Dropbox that would work on Android. And so I found one called Epistle. And this one is pretty good. I mean, it worked pretty well for when I used the tablet, which wasn't as often as the iPhone, but it's probably a comfort level thing. I've had the iPhone longer, and it's pretty good for typing. I've tried some different keyboards on the Android tablet, and I like how you can swap those out, but I'm just not as used to writing on it. And then occasionally I would write on the Mac, and I did write a little on Sublime Text, Sublime Text 2 for a Mac, and that thing, you know, it works pretty well, but there was something about it that wasn't quite the right atmosphere for writing with it. I have it basically in the default kind of setting, and it's like a kind of gray. It's good for writing code, but I wasn't really I didn't really feel like writing too much in it. It has like a dark kind of background look, and it creates like an instant thumbnail of what you're creating. So it's really, it seems like really suited for code with the line numbers kind of prominent. But I actually found using TextMate was better for composing on the Mac. Now TextEdit has gone kind of like all over the place. We were looking at TextEdit recently, right? Like TextEdit, the default text editor on OS X Mountain Lion, and it, I mean, it's been in previous versions, but the way it is now is that it really prefers RTF files for whatever reason, and you have to go out of your way to save stuff as text. It automatically uses the Lion and afterward file model, which is fine, but isn't really in line with the way a lot of people handle their documents right now, you know, with stuff like Dropbox and stuff. But TextMate is cool, and I have TextMate 2, which is you can actually download for free, because Sublime Text you have to pay for, and, you know, most of these apps, like, aren't that expensive, but, you know, like, TextMate 2 you can get for free at GitHub because it's, like, an open source project now, and as it's like a lot, it just has a kind of a more approachable look if you're trying to write prose, I think, you know, than Sublime Text too. And then for editing, for doing stuff like word count, for editing, for looking at stuff, I mean, I did do a little editing on TextMate, and I actually have TextMate 1 on the iMac and TextMate 2 on the MacBook Pro, but anyway, I mean, they both work, especially for simple, you know, text file creation. But I mean, then BB Edit, I think, is one of those where you're going to get a lot of info at the bottom with the word count and the character count. And then, it's good for organizing stuff with the tab kind of setup that it has. And, so I was using that a good deal. I mean, that basically sums up the main apps that I was using to compose and edit. And then also, you know, there's the publishing part, and I put out an EPUB PDF and iPad only iBooks file. And what's the story behind that? Because Jessica, you told me like that about how the iBooks version didn't work on the iPhone. It would only work on the iPad, right?
Yeah, and it was a little disappointing. But then I got one of the other options that you provided. which is great because you provide many options and not a lot of people do. And I was able to read it now on my phone. But I don't think I have the ability to sync, or I have to use it maybe through the Kindle app, and then I can sync where I left off reading.
Yeah, I mean, there's the I'm not as familiar with the iBooks platform, but I did try to make it easy to read on either one, right? But that's the thing. Kindle, you have to use the PDF version, and you have to either just read it on your device or send it to yourself. And then with the iBooks app, you know, you can use the EPUB version. But anyway, so I made an EPUB version, right? But the EPUB version is actually was made with Pages, Apple's word processor. You can output as an EPUB. Whereas the PDF and the iPad-only iBooks version, which are kind of like twin documents, those two are actually were created with the iBooks author, which is a, you know, so you can find links to the in the show notes to all these applications I'm talking about at djmcloud.com. And, you know, there's a big story about Apple and Google.
Okay.
Apple, of course, replaced the maps in iOS 6 with their own mapping application instead of one that used Google data. Now Google has a maps application. And you were taking a look at it earlier, right?
Just for a brief second, but it looks good. And I'm hoping that it's back to the way things were, because I don't know. I'm not a fan of Apple's Maps.
And let me tell you something I noticed about this. It does have driving directions. It does turn by turn stuff. I don't know how. I mean, I haven't tried it driving somewhere I don't know how to get to, but it does have turn by turn. And then also it has the satellite view, and it has the equivalent of a flyover type view. I'm not really sure how it works, but I was using it earlier. Yeah, if you hit the compass a few times, it gives you this I guess, like, Apple calls it, I think this is comparable to Apple's flyover view, but it's pretty cool, right? It's like a view of your community or wherever you're looking at on the map from like a little bit of a tilt, like as though out of like as though you're looking down out of a helicopter almost. Like it's kind of interesting, you know, like how you, the way you can like scan around the way a community looks with it, you know, it has driving. So it has a lot of updated features. It's definitely competing.
Yes, it is. It is. And I think competition is good, and map applications are only going to get stronger. So, you know, check out the Google one. Now, how much is that one?
It's free.
It's free. So.
Cool.
Yeah. Get some different apps.
Definitely.
Our traditions do not survive. Censorship.
I think caring what other people think about you is something universally human, but I think it's something that varies drastically in extent from person to person, depending a lot on a person's personality type. And even just for one person, it's something that's fluid and always changing, and depending on your mood and who you're around and where you are and lots of other factors.
Our traditions do not survive. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control.
Well, new game for iPhone iPad and some Android phones. And it actually was delayed on Android, but now it's available. Although it doesn't appear to be compatible with my tablet. But, you know, I think it might have, like, requirements for, like, pretty latest kind of Android hardware or something. But it was actually, that version was delayed a few days, but now it's out. So, you know, I mean, I think you saw it for, like, 3 seconds. But, you know, you played Vice City with me on the PlayStation 2. And so we know the game is pretty cool, right? Pretty classic. What'd you think of the interaction on the tab, you know, using it on your iPad?
It was not, like, too heavy to hold it like this and use it as a controller.
Because you have to use the iPad as the controller?
Yeah, and it's too heavy.
Okay. Maybe, okay.
I don't know if I take off the case.
No, I could see that maybe. Heavy.
It's just, now that I have the iPhone 5. Everything seems heavier.
You know, that is a very light phone. I think that you could possibly... I think it's a universal. I think you could... So we could just sync it and you could play it on your iPhone 5. You might actually enjoy the game on your iPhone 5. Because, you know, I was playing it a little on your iPad. But, you know, I have pretty big hands. So I didn't feel... It didn't start feeling heavy in my hands even as I was playing.
Ken Rosenberg here. Hey, great. Well, I'm going to drive you guys to the meet, okay? Now, I've talked to the suppliers, and they are very keen to start a business relationship. So, if all goes well, we should be doing very nicely for ourselves, which is, you know... Okay, so, they're brothers, okay? One operates the business, and the other one does the flying.
This is the whole beginning. It explains how it gets into the whole situation. Explains how it gets into the whole situation. We're just running around basically.
Okay, that's them and the chopper. Alright, here's the deal. We want a straight exchange on open ground. Alright? Okay, stay tight. Let's go.
Got it? 100% pure grade A Colombian, my friend.
Let me see it.
The greens?
10s and 20s. Used.
I think we have a deal, my friend.
Oh, shit!
So, you know...
I poked my head out of the gutter for one freaking second and bait shovel shit in my face.
Go get some sleep.
What are you gonna do?
I'll drop by your office tomorrow and we can start sorting this mess out.
So then you get in the car and go to the hotel. Or, much cooler, the bike.
Synthesizers
are the new wave. So, Vice City is set in the 80s in Miami. or a city like it. And after the opening cinematic, you gotta get to the hotel on the other side of town somewhere. Where there's a pink dot. Feel for it. You probably, there's better bikes too. I don't know where. Oh, yeah, you don't want to have the water. This isn't like San Andreas. Wait, I don't remember what happens if you go in the water in this game, but it's probably not good. Do you remember what happens when you go in the water in Vice City? Well, because you can swim in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, but you can't swim for sure in GTA 3. No way. I don't even want to get stuck at cafe tables. Those are the worst. That's some nice cars there. You still... still cruising on that thing. Isn't this game have good colors, though? The thing about Vice City is that it's got, like, it's just got a really classic look. It's got all those, like, kind of, pastel colors. And, this 10th anniversary edition, I mean, looks cool. What do you think?
I like it. I like the soundtrack. I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it does have good music, doesn't it? Like good random music that, or good 80s music that you kind of, it's kind of recognizable sometimes. But, I mean, remember you got me that box set of the music of Vice City.
Yeah, I got that from GamePro, which is no longer in existence.
Yeah, so there's this, There's like a lot of companies that have come and gone, and you just want, you know, I wonder, GamePro, I guess they never really quite transitioned to the online era. Is that what happened?
Oh, I think they did. But. I didn't go on the GamePro.com, so I don't know how robust it was. I don't know if it kept up with the demands of consumers.
Well, yeah, and I mean...
advertisers, for that matter, too, you know?
Because GamePro was pretty established as one or two with Electronic Gaming Monthly for a while.
Right.
In the market, right? Like, it was that era when print magazines still mattered, but Nintendo wasn't, like, a near monopoly, and there were a lot of... other, you know, there was like people wanted to read about different platforms. So GamePro was positioned really well, whereas GameSpot and other sites, I think, there were a number of sites who were up ahead of GamePro's online presence. Plus IDG, I mean, really, I don't know if they have a very coherent strategy. Don't they own Macworld? I heard they basically put like PC World and all that stuff under Macworld.
Yeah, I don't know how the place is actually broken up, but IDG, it's an interesting place to work.
Interesting in what way?
I don't know. It's like weird tech people.
Weird tech people?
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe you get.
So what distinguishes weird tech people from other people in San Francisco?
Like, there's like a clamminess, a grayness, a frizziness.
That is amazing. That's great. Clamminess I like the best, but that's all good. That's all awesome.
Yeah, there's just something sort of not warm and fuzzy and cozy about somebody.
Warm and clammy more.
Yeah.
Well, there's a Flickr iOS app. I don't know if I have enough, if we have enough energy to talk about it, but the Flickr is trying to compete now in the market of photo apps. And you had a peek at the Flickr for iOS new app. You know, they updated it, but it's basically a whole new app, right? I mean, what did you think?
I thought it was good, but I would like to see it with...
I thought, like, that, you know, it's similar to, in some ways, a little bit to Instagram, of course, that's very influential, and the Facebook camera app, which is, they're all in that genre, but I do like that you can use it to share to Twitter easily, you know, and now, for now, anyway, Flickr photos are displaying in line, so, you know, like, I've talked about leaving Instagram. Well, I wasn't, like, anticipating something like this, but I did want to use, you know, Flickr more, or, you know, as rather than, it was certainly, or rather than Instagram, but, like, you know, now it makes a lot of sense even in the context of sharing on Flickr.
It does, it does. And finally, that app has been updated, and that maybe it can retake its hold in the photo community as a good space to go and share and create. I hope so, because we need that in the photography world.
Yeah, there's people like me that have still kept renewing their Flickr Pro account since, like, 2007 or something, but there's plenty of people who have let them lapse, so they need to really start drawing people back in there, right?
Absolutely.
You've been listening to the DJMCloud.com podcast, and you know, check out our show notes and links to a lot of the stuff we're talking about, DJMCloud.com, and you can also check Jessica's site, jessica.sf3am.com. And this has been recorded December 15th, 2012, in Lakewood, Ohio, and it's early in the morning, and it's time to turn the microphone off. Good night.
Good night.
DJMCloud.com.